Well, it's good to see you. Good to see you. How I know Pastor Nick asked a second ago, but how are you doing? You guys doing all right? Yeah. I'll be very transparent with you. I had a rough week last week, and it started with school shooting stuff. And having been a youth pastor all those years, you know, I was a youth pastor for 26 years. Columbine shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado. I happened to be at a conference in Colorado when that happened. And we were at the hotel at a break, and the news came on. Like, what is going on? I know there had been other school shootings, but that was the first one that just really, it just was devastating. And I don't know if you remember much about that, but you know, the news came out that those guys were going through the school and asking kids, are you a Christian? And they're shooting Christians. And at the time, you know, nobody thought like that was a thing. It was shocking. And then this last week with the school shootings, and then there was one not too long before that, and then the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I was familiar with Charlie Kirk. I'd seen clips of his, but I'd never really watched a whole thing. I mean, I follow so many people and see so many things, and but it was, and that's why I think when that happened on Wednesday, and I knew I had church Wednesday night, I just had to go home for a while, and I was trying to soul search, like, okay, this is happening, and I was really, and man, I'm feeling it now. It just was really hard to focus and hard to process. I just need to be alone. I need to be alone with God, and basically, like, God, what is going on? This seems like an escalation. It feels like there's more happening. And it just seemed like, I know this cultural battle is real. I know the spiritual battle is real. But you know how it is when you're living your life and you're just doing your life. You know, I'm like in my world, and then the world kind of crashes in and something, you know, jars you into the bigger reality that there's a lot of hate in this world, and there's evil in the world that really, you know, when the scripture says that, you know, that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, I would prefer to keep that more allegorical, not physical. But the destruction is real, and the fact is, God comes to give life, and there are things that are good, you know that, and there are really good things happening in the world. My entire ministry, I mean, 40 years, has been a decline of church attendance, decline of, not in our churches, but overall in Christianity. You knew that, right? And that each successive generation is less engaged with Scripture, knows less about, less churched. But did you know that's changing with these guys? Did you know that? Have you seen that Gen Z, it's different? We would kind of cling to little things like, well, they're not going to church, but they're spiritual. And we'd be like, well, that's good. But now it's different. It's really cool to see some amazing things happening in culture. And it's Gen Z is leading this, and I'm super excited about it. And one of the things they don't say they're spiritual. What they say is they're looking for truth, and they're looking for it in churches. They want to know, and I think some of it was the COVID lockdown. I think the COVID lockdown, of course, was horrible and all of that, and I don't want to even get into that. But I think what it did is shook a lot of people up. And if you weren't younger during that time, it's hard to understand what our young people went through. In my classes, I teach Summit Christian Academy. I teach the first 3 hours of the day every day, 7 to 10, and I teach seniors. And I teach apologetics, defending the Christian faith, the philosophy of religion, philosophy. It's fascinating. It's an awesome class. And every year they have to write a essay. Next semester they'll write this essay on some big event in their life, some tragedy. I started getting essays on COVID from them and seeing it through their eyes. Different, totally different. Couldn't see my friends. I couldn't talk to anybody. Wasn't allowed to leave that. It's crazy. And I think part of that shook them up in a way that they are wanting truth. They want to see something that's real, real. Because they've grown up in a world where you can't trust what anybody says anymore. Which I think for us as adults, you know, maybe you have a moment in life where that happened for you. But people want to know what's true. And the world order is changing. And I mean, there's been incredible shakeups in politics that I don't think any of us could have seen coming. I mean, who'd have thought that the guy that was on The Apprentice is president? I mean, no one would have thought that. I mean, you couldn't have, if I was a betting person or whatever, and you would have asked me to bet on that, you know, 10 years, 20 years ago, would have anybody thought that?
No.
It's amazing. Did you know Bibles have been selling out all around the country?
Hallelujah.
Bibles. Yeah, you can celebrate.
Hallelujah.
It's pretty cool.
Hallelujah.
Churches are filling up. I mean, it's amazing. I'm seeing things online that I've never seen before where people are saying, I haven't been to church in 20 years, but I'm going now. Their world is shook. And if they're turning to Christ, that's an exciting thing. But then the hate part of it, I've received hate, and I know I've received it personally, and I've had people personally tell me, I don't want to ever talk to you again, ever. And if you know me at all, you know I'm kind of a talker. And if you want to hurt me, tell me you don't want to talk to me ever again. And it hurts deep. And I'm a nice guy. I know not all of you know me, but I really am. It seems so funny to say that. I wrote that and it didn't seem as funny as it does now. I wasn't trying to be funny. I really do. If you knew me, I think you would think that. But I want people to like me too. And maybe you're like that. So when they say they don't, I'm like, really? But that's not it. That's not all of it. I also want people to like what I like. And I'm not talking about steak and smoked meat. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I want them to love who I love. And I love Jesus more than anything in the world. And I love his church more than anything in the world. So when people don't, and when they make it personal, it's really unsettling and disturbing, and it hurts to know that people hate me, and they hate what I believe, and they hate what I do, and they hate what I stand for, and then they don't want to talk to me about it. Because I feel like if we just talked about it, we could fix this. It's a horrible pattern. Have you seen the pattern? They hate, they label, and then no one's killing me, but I'm just saying, then they use that as a justification. But why is it so surprising? Have you wondered that? Why are you surprised? I think we're surprised partly because I think if you're a little older, at least, you grew up in a culture where it pretty much aligned with what Christianity was about. The culture was never Christian. You know that, right? Don't ever get fooled into thinking the culture's Christian. It's like, remember when you put fishes on cars? Remember that?
Yeah.
I know what people were trying to say. Like, hey, I'm a Christian. Look at my cars. But your car's not a Christian. It's not saved. And it probably didn't drive saved. Right? I mean, our culture has never been Christian. Christianity's Christian. And as Christians, I think there's times where we've been kind of fooled or duped into thinking, well, everybody thinks this. No, they don't. They don't think this. Have you ever heard this quote? You may be familiar with this quote, but it's, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And if you belong to the world, it would love you as one of its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Do you know who said that? Jesus said that. And he said that about their culture, and it's true today. So if it surprises you, I think I was a little shocked and surprised last week. And maybe shouldn't have been. Jesus said that. Paul said something similar to the church in Ephesus, which had been Asia Minor. Paul started most of the churches in the early church. I mean, and he wrote most of the books in the New Testament. He said this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. You know, it's normal for the world to sin. It's what they do. It's who they are. You used to be like that. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Did you catch the main points there? Those who reign in the world are slaves to sin. They do what they do because it's like a fish in water. They're living in that water. They don't even know they're wet. You realize that, right? When you've been removed from that, that's when you say, okay, we don't live like that. We don't choose to live like that. Our values have changed. They follow their own passions and desires. It said it right in there. They do the will of Satan. That sounds really extreme, doesn't it? Those who give their lives to Jesus, however, receive a new nature and are a new creation. We are in a huge culture clash, but we always have been. You just didn't realize it. It wasn't as obvious. To the church in Corinth, Paul wrote this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Hallelujah. You literally become a new person. Jesus said it this way, or John wrote this about Jesus, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You literally change your allegiance from the world to Jesus, from the enemy to Jesus. And when you're on the other team, it shouldn't surprise us that the other team doesn't like it anymore. We become slaves to righteousness. Paul told this to the church in Rome. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient to the heart, from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed and have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Yeah, we can say praise God, but we don't live in heaven yet. You know that, right? Okay. When I was a youth pastor and a girl would come up and say, hey, I got a new boyfriend, I'd be, oh, great. Is he a Christian? It's my first question every time. And they'd say, well, I don't know. In the back of my mind, don't be offended, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if he's not, you know what his goal in life is? Yeah. What every other guy's goal in life is. And it's not for her purity, right? Why would I be surprised? He's in the world. When he becomes a Christian, yeah, it'll be different, but he's still in the world. That's how the world is. You know that. So let's recap. Jesus said the world would hate his disciples because they're not of the world. If they were of the world would love them because they're on their team. To be of the world means to be under the governance and influence of Satan. I know that sounds extreme. Resulting in being a slave to sin. But if you're a child of God, you're a slave to righteousness. So why do the children, it says they're children of Satan. Why would they necessarily hate the children of God? Why? Well, John, in the book of John, it talks about this. John talks about this in 1 John. He says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them, so they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously or does not love other believers does not belong to God. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. This is not new. First two kids, Cain and Abel. Because Cain had been doing what was evil, his brother had been doing what was righteous. So here's the money verse here for today. Don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. I think what happened last week, I was kind of surprised. Like, we're past this. I thought, you like me. In short, the children of God will be hated because they practice righteousness, and the children of Satan practice evil. Righteousness is going to be despised by a fallen world. That's how it is. When the children of light practice righteousness, they shine light, the light on the works of the world, and it unveils the truth. Pastor, I know I can hear you. I can hear your thoughts. Not really. Pastor, I know some of you are thinking this. You sound so mean today. And you're using really mean words, like you're calling people slaves of the devil. I didn't write this. Just so you get it, I'm reading right out of Scripture. But it does reveal why we're so hated in the world today. It is what it is. You know what I think of it like? Is the doctor being mean when he says you have cancer? Is he trying to hurt you when he says those words to you? I know the words hurt. I know it. But what he's doing is saying, hey, you got something, you got this cancer in you that is killing you physically. And I know it's hard to hear, but there needs to be something radical happen. Cut it out, treat it, make it right so that you are not dying inside. Do you see the analogy? The world is dying because the cancer of sin is in them and they don't even notice it sometimes. And it's causing them to live a life that is unrighteous and full of sin and selfishness. And when you point it out, or just your presence shines the light on it and it becomes obvious, then they react against you. Newsflash. People like to live in sin. Do you remember why? It's fun, isn't it? Scripture's so honest about it. It says sin is fun for a season, and then it brings death. Yes. God's rules for us are always meant to protect and provide for us. Every single one. Every single one. I mentioned lying earlier. He doesn't want you to lie because he wants you to have good, healthy, trusting relationships. He wants you to be safe with the people you love because you can trust them because there's no lie. That's why he says not to lie. It's what he does. He constantly wants you to have a good life. Why does he say to reserve sex for marriage? Why did he say that? Is he a prude? He doesn't want you to have fun? You know, your body doesn't know if it's married or not, right? It's still, God made sex. But somebody's gonna go, man, I can't believe Pastor Dennis today. He called us, said people are of the devil, and he said sex in church. You know God made it, right?
Amen.
You know he created it to be good.
Yes.
In a certain environment. And when it's not celebrated there, you open your, he's trying to protect you from a lot of things.
Yes.
I mean, the obvious things, diseases he never planned for you to have, right? Pregnancy and babies when you're not ready and not married and don't have a healthy relationship to nurture them in, right? At not the right time. He wants to protect you from that. Something you never see on TV, but also he wants to protect you from the emotional damage.
Amen.
Many of you know what I'm talking about. The scars, the thoughts, the memories, yeah. And he wants to provide for you an incredible, safe, loving, wonderful time in marriage. That's what he wants. Protect and provide. That's what he does. Another newsflash, people don't like when the light shines on their sin. They don't like it. Go figure. You know, sometimes what it is just your presence brings conviction. Just your presence, you living differently. I know I was in college, you know, I didn't party, I didn't get involved in any of that, and I had a lot of fun, did a lot of fun things, and one of my friends came up to me one day, and he goes, are you just judging us every weekend? What are you talking about? I ain't even here, brother. I don't even know what you're doing. And he's like, well, you won't do this with us. I'm like, because I see what it does to you. I pulled one of you out of the toilet the other day. It's nasty. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you think it's fun, but why don't you come have fun with me? I can show you a life that's way different than that.
Yes.
We all have a sin problem. You know that, right? None of us are better than them. I'm not saying we're better than the world. Because as Paul said, we used to live like that. We used to be like that. And some of you have been Christians so long, you don't remember what it used to be like. I get that. You're perfect, right? No problems. You never do anything wrong. Never have a stray thought. Never a bad thought. Never envious, right? We all have a sin problem. But if you've dealt with it, if you have dealt with it and been forgiven, then you know how great it is to be forgiven. And you know how great it is to wake up with no hangover and to be sober. You know what that's like. You know what it used to be like, and now you know what it's like. You know what it's like to walk into a room and not have any worries. You don't have to remember what lie you told because you didn't tell any. You just tell the truth. I forget who said it. It might have been Twain. I don't know. Somebody said, someone smart like that said, if you always tell the truth, you don't even have to have a good memory. Just keep telling the truth. You might wonder, what happened to our world? How did it get so crazy? How did it get crazy like this? Or the libraries, they got drag queen story hour. Why are they doing that to children? I don't get it. When I was in LA this summer, I had a visit. I went to visit a friend of mine who's got Alzheimer's. I wanted to go see him, and he's in a private home now. And if you, I know many of you have never been to LA and San Diego. You can't just stop anywhere and use a restroom like at a gas station. It don't work like that there. So I had to go, and I thought, I don't want to get to this place. And so I thought, oh, there's a library. So I just pulled in and I'll go to the library. So I walk in, and they're doing a story hour thing there. Wasn't a drag queen. But as I bumped it, I burst in there, like, and there's all these little kids and their moms, and I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm like, okay, it's just a book. I thought that, though. How did that happen? How did that happen? How is it that our schools and, you know, teachers are pushing pronouns and there's literally pornographic homosexual books in the libraries? A lot of that's been found out. And pride and parades. How did that happen? How did our culture get like that? Where it used to be a little more aligned with Christianity, why does it seem so different now? I think one of the reasons, and a big reason, is that Christians were conditioned to be quiet. We were told you can't talk about politics and religion, right? I was taught that. Our voices weren't welcome in the public square. Separation of church and state, remember that? You know that's not in the Constitution, right? You guys you're educated, you know that, right? That was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote actually to a Baptist congregation saying, don't worry, the government's never gonna take over and control what you teach. Right. And he used the phrase separation of church and state. It didn't appear anywhere. The actual idea was that our government would never impinge on people's religious expression. That was the idea. Yes. Don't force your religion on me. You know, when I was a kid, we were told sticks and stones may break your bones, but what will never hurt you? Words. And I'm a words guy, don't get me wrong. I can remember every mean thing anybody ever said to me. But you know now, words are supposed to be violence. They're not. Violence is violence. But still, I think I know part of what's going on. Social media is a powerful tool. It's an amazing thing. It's also a really scary thing. And I don't know if you've ever heard this before. Maybe you have, but there are algorithms that are created within social media to keep you looking at your social media, whether it's phone or computer or even, you know, YouTube on the TV, whatever it is. You know that, right? Did you know that? It's all about money to them. They want to keep you there. And what they realize is if we can send you the stuff that you like or that agitates you and keep you agitated, you'll keep watching, and they'll make more money off revenue. As evil as it is, I don't think they care about our culture or anybody. They just want to make money. So if you are somebody who is, like, say you're, you know, right or left or Christian or not, and you don't like this figure, then they will send you out of context clips about a certain person as long as you'll watch, and you'll watch longer if they keep sending them to you. That's what they do. And they create these bubbles where we live within a bubble and it just keeps going on and on. A term for it is confirmation bias, where you just get your biases confirmed by what you see. What's sad is culture really has set up really a permission structure for violence. Have you noticed that? If somebody is evil enough in your mind, then you can call them names and do whatever. And this separation, this artificial separation, it's real, I guess, but with social media, where you can say something and blurt something and be crazy online. I mean, you'd say stuff online you would never say face-to-face to somebody. It dehumanizes. And once you've dehumanized people, then you can treat them like things and do whatever you want. Oh, I've got so much to say about this, but I'm running low on time. Let me just say this. Social media has created these phenomena that it's even a social contagion where it artificially makes it look like certain behaviors are acceptable and common, and they're not. Let me get to what we need to do about this. Let me get to this. Here's what we do. Here's what you need to do as a Christian. The first thing I want you to do is what we preached a whole series about it in the beginning of the year. You need to love out loud. You need your love for Christ and your love for the world to be so loud that everybody knows. We've been put on our heels and be like, hey, can't say this, can't say that. And you know what? You've got the answer to the cancer.
Yes.
You need to share the answer and do it in love in a way that is so positive that it drives people nuts, that they can't stand being around you because you are so powerful. You know we win, right?
Amen.
You know it's going to be ugly, but then we win. You know Jesus is king and he's the victor. You know that, right? Why not tell people? Why not get everybody on board as quick as possible? I think we're in a crisis point in the world where people are looking for truth, and that's why Gen Z is looking to church and coming to church. I think everybody would react that way if we would give them the answer. I think you need to be hopeful. I know the world looks dark. Believe me, I know. I get the hate. I get it personally. But you know what? I'm still hopeful. Because I'm connected to the King of the universe, and I know that he has the answers for life. And I know if you could get him to see the truth. But if all we're going to do is be quiet and be pushed into our shells, then no one's going to know. I think you need to be bold and speak the truth in love. Now, listen very carefully. There's a right and a wrong way to do it, but you still need to speak the truth. Make sure you do it in love. I do not think social media is the best place to do that, personally. I don't do it on there. Because you don't get the inflection. It's going to take time in a relationship with people. I think you need to be more connected with people and speak the truth in love. And I think there's times where you might need to turn social media off.
Hello.
Literally off. I think there's times where you need to turn the news off. And that's not saying just detach from the world. We're supposed to be, you know, the word says we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world.
Amen.
We are supposed to be in the world influencing the world. But there's times when you need to just turn off the noise and engage with people. I look at it like this. You know, Paul wrote this to the book in Philippi, the church in Philippi. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already arrived or achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us.
Amen.
He told the church in Corinth, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. The world needs to hear the truth, but they need to hear it with love. And you are connected to people that are never going to be reached on social media. People that you know in your life. And you have a choice to make. Am I going to influence them or going to keep my mouth shut? Look, I know it can be scary for sometimes. I know what people are scared. I know. Christians are scared and they're afraid. Maybe they'll think I'm crazy or they won't be my friend anymore. I know that. And some of you are thinking, I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. I get that. I would say this though. I feel like you need to keep at it, and you have a specific person or group of people that you have an opportunity to influence. I think one of the most powerful things you can do is tell them your story. Tell them how God has changed you. I used to be like this. I met Jesus. Now I'm like this. People are looking for answers, and deep down in their hearts, they know they don't have it. They know that life is rough, and the way they're living, it's not working. I know that. But for you to speak the truth in love means for you to be consistent, for you to be loving, and keep speaking the truth. Tell them that you have answers. That choice is for all of us, and it's a big choice, and I know it's hard. So my first thing for you is do this. Don't grow weary. Paul wrote to the book in Galatians, the church in Galatia. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. They're planting evil seeds, but you don't have to. You can plant good seeds. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Do you catch that? Whenever you have the opportunity, you should do good to everyone. And he says, start here with the church. You need to be overcomers. Jesus said this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Don't be surprised. Here on earth, you have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You can still be an overcomer. I think this too, you need to protect and educate your babies. Vodi Bakum said it this way, we cannot continue to send our children to Caesar for their education and then be surprised when they come home as Romans. Right? Your kids are being taught things. You need to find out what they're being taught. And I know you guys are going to hate this, but you also need to monitor what they're seeing on their phones and stuff.
Yes.
You know what the authority is in most people's life today? Used to be this. Okay, back in my day, the authority used to be teachers, preachers, you know, parents, right? Or parents, teachers, preachers. Remember that? You know who the authority is today? It's the phone.
Yep.
It's Google. You got a question, you just check it out. See what the internet says. Scary. Speak the truth in love. Paul wrote this, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Peter said this, now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? Well, somebody maybe, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Tell them your story. And do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good than it is... If that's what God wants, then suffer for doing wrong. And final thing is be bold. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes for a second. I don't know if any of you have been caught up in the events of the world in the last couple weeks. And maybe you felt like you didn't know what to do or could do. Or maybe you're just curious, like what in the world has happened? I'm going to challenge you. Could you dig into this? You are the light of the world. He has put us in this world to be salt and light. And those things affect everything around them. That is your calling. But remember, always be ready to give an answer for what you believe, but do it in a careful and gentle way. But I'm gonna ask this question before we go on. I know I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know where you're at with your relationship with God. I know especially during communion, I gave a very clear presentation of the gospel. I know that there might have been someone in here who didn't know what to do with their sin. They didn't know. Maybe you've been in here and you felt guilty and you wondered, how do I even start a relationship with Jesus? Well, hopefully you know now. And it works like this. All you have to do is tell him, I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong. I want you in my life. I want your forgiveness. I want to live free. Please forgive me. Make me different. Simple. Just pray that. It's a simple, simple prayer. Does anybody want to do that? We'll do it with you today. Anybody at all, you want to do that? You want to join him in that relationship? Anybody at all? Give you a second here. All right. I'm going to ask this then. I'm going to ask you all to stand. If everybody would just stand real quick. I'm going to ask this too, because we always want to offer time for prayer. I know that there's people who may be in need of prayer in some way. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you just have a situation in life you want someone to stand with you. Maybe you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and that's your time today. If you are on the board or a spouse or staff or spouse, if you just come forward real quick, these people are available to pray with you. And as I close in prayer, if you want prayer for anything, jump out. Just come on down and these people will pray with you. I'm going to pray over all of us, God, that God would help us to be bold in every way possible. That he will help us to be bold. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that in every encounter that you would give us the grace that comes from you, but you would also give us the boldness that we would be able to speak the truth in love in situation after situation after situation. Father, I pray for those in the world who so desperately need to know you, who are trapped in sin, trapped in that world. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be the light that you have intended for us to be in this world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. go light the world up.